When you're there and you're kind of getting your cup filled at the same time, it's always really helpful.
Yeah, somebody told me it was their second cup of coffee going to those events.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, they're like, I have a cup of coffee in the morning and then one every single day when I go to these networking events.
Yeah, yeah, so that's nice. It keeps your business front of mind. You know, it's hard to get, or it's easy to get distracted, and sometimes you have these downfalls, these little bumps in the road, and it's easy to get distracted. So when you hear everything that everybody else is doing, it's just a nice reminder of why to keep focus, you know, stay aligned.
And everybody's doing, they're all trying to accomplish the same thing in there. So, well, welcome to another session of our podcast. My name is Alex with Simply Gold. I've got two new guests with me today. I've got Diego and I've got Corey with Industrious Frisco, an amazing gym. They're going to get to tell you all about it. You know, small format. We're not talking about your Lifetime Fitnesses. We're talking about a place where there's a lot of collaboration, camaraderie, everybody trying to accomplish the same thing right here located in Frisco, which is the same city that we office here at the Dallas Cowboys corporate headquarters. Thanks so much for joining. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to have you guys here.
Thank you very much.
So we've got Corey, who's the owner. It's just you, right? Just at the end of the day, the buck stops with you?
Well, yes, my wife and I, yeah. And I always joke that, you know, the business owns me, so I don't own it. So, yes, but my wife, she's an integral part of, you know, the operations. She's just more behind the scenes, so. And then, of course, you know, Diego. Diego's been my right-hand guy for a long time, and I couldn't do this without him. And Colin. Colin's our newest addition as well, and he's not here today. But yeah, so it's us three holding it down.
That's a small team.
It is.
That's
it
a
is.
Small team. So, Diego, yeah. you moved here from New Mexico, from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And was this, like, the first job that you had from that move, or you had a couple of things before that?
You know, my move wasn't specifically for the gym. At the time, I was actually selling real estate, and I was waiting to get a job with a new home builder. But I've always done fitness on the side pretty much since I've been out of high school. There's a couple times it's paid all my bills, but I wanted to get back into it, and I had stopped by Corey's gym. I think it was around 2014. I made a trip to the North Dallas area and did a drop-in. Loved it. So when I moved up here for the real estate job, it was like the first place that I went to. And checked out a couple other gyms, but I didn't like it. So I went back, and then that was the start of Corey and I's bromance.
Nice. It's fun working with people you like to work with. Like, know, and trust. That's what they preach every time we go to networking.
Right.
It's important. Well, Diego, I'm sure that you're tremendously happy that you made the move and that you're here working with Corey and alongside him and his plus one, his best half, I'm sure. You know, at some point, everybody's got to take out the trash is kind of how I relate that. And even in my own business, you know, I'm the owner of the company. And that's kind of sometimes what I tell people is, like, sometimes you don't feel like the owner. Sometimes you don't feel like the president. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you feel like CEO or whatever the role may be, because everybody has to come together and do their part. You know, really, as a reminder, you know, this type of podcast really speaks to a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs that are really, you know, trying to make it grow their business. I think a lot of times fitness, as you probably know, is probably the last thing on a lot of people's mind. I'll be completely honest with you. I'm going to throw myself under the bus here. I have a gym membership at three gyms. I'm not even playing with you. So I have a Lifetime Fitness membership. I don't pay full rate. I pay $10 a month because they're like, well, you'll come in four times at least in the next 30 days. I'm like, okay, $10 a month, that seems like a good deal, but it's not because I'm not using it, right?
That's a sweet deal.
That's a sweet deal. So I'm paying for that. I'm also a member of the purple one. What's the Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a member of a Planet Fitness, and I'm also a member of Cowboys Fit here at the Star. So I have three memberships. I have a fit bag. I have a gym bag.
Yeah.
It's got all the pieces in it, and it just kind of travels with me along the different, you know, it's ridden the elevator a half a dozen times up and down. But I'm guilty of the same. You know, my calendar is completely stacked, but I forget time and time again to make priorities for my fitness and my well-being. You know, share with us, why is that so important to just really hone in and take care of your body and your mind as an entrepreneur, as an owner, or just really anybody?
I'll let you go first, Corey.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, You know, I think that's a great question because, you know, when you have the pressures of owning a business, running a business, whether it be a smaller team or, you know, a medium size or even a large team, the rigors, the stresses that come with that, I think, like you said, there's just a lot of times where people put their health on the back burner. They think of their health as physicality, probably more so than the mental benefits that come from staying physically fit, right? Mm-hmm. So being physically fit does not just mean your physical body in the sense of, you know, yeah, you can deadlift a certain amount of weight or you can run a mile in a certain amount of time, but also the mental benefits that come with that, the endorphins that are released, just the overall sense of well-being that you get from being active on a regular basis. We are meant to be active. We're meant to move. Mm-hmm. We are not meant to be sedentary behind desks, you know, and unfortunately, modern society has created a lot of that and almost made it normal, mm-hmm. I dare say. And it's an unfortunate place that we find ourselves in. But if you can make the commitment to pay yourself first, you're your most important client as a business owner, right? If you're not functioning at a high level, chances are everything below you and spreading out are not going to be functioning. And if they are, you're sacrificing. And that's gonna that candle is gonna burn itself out mm-hmm. at some point, right?
Yeah, you're not really truly meeting your max potential. You think you are, you feel like you are. Again, speaking of areas where I can improve, I mean, I'm exhausted by the end of the day. And the end of the day, I'm not talking 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. I'm talking like 5:30. You know, I'm beat, right? And I've got two kids. I go home and they want to play video games. They want to play outside, and I'm like, man, I'm just too tired. You know, and it sucks, right? It's a really thing. It's like a path you don't want to lead down because you're missing out on time with your kids, opportunity with your family, with your friends. You know, when do you really think is the best time to exercise and to work on those types of things if you're a busy entrepreneur, busy business owner?
Whenever you can get it in. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously, everybody has their maybe you know, what they've read or what they've seen on from the latest, you know, Instagram influencer. You've got to work out at 6 a.m. or you have to do it at 4 a.m. If you're, you know, follow Jocko Willink, you look at the watch, he's always posting a picture of 4:15 or whatever, right? It's whenever you can get it in, but right. Be consistent, you know, put it on your calendar. I think if you put it on a calendar, especially if you live and die by a calendar, and a lot of entrepreneurs do, mm-hmm. you know, they run their lives and their day-to-day lives on a calendar, put that on your calendar. Pay yourself first. And whenever that is, if it's 6 a.m, great. Chances are you're not going to run into a lot of time bandits if you get it out of the way first thing.
Right.
But sometimes people's days and some business owners, that's their day start early. Mm-hmm. So maybe they have to get in the midday.
Yeah, I'm a morning person myself. I get up probably around 4 a.m., but instead of working on my mind, I'm working on my emails and things like that.
Well, it's quiet time, right? There's no right. There's no distractions for you. You can get stuff done.
Right.
But, yeah, I say there's probably no – you know, 10 out of 10 time for each and every person to get it done that I could say, yes, everybody needs to work out at this time. So mm-hmm. whenever you can get it in, but I think if you schedule it and commit to that, that'll probably be a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that being said, you know, it's, you're not going to have the time unless you take the time.
Right.
There's going to be no perfect time. People will say, oh, early in the morning, because I'm not a morning person. Maybe you need to become a morning person, or you know, I don't have time after work because I got my kid.
Right.
You know, we have people that bring their kid with them. You know, either hanging out or sometimes if we have space, to work out with them. There's always workarounds, but if you don't take the time, you're not gonna have the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Corey, Diego, you're in the field, you're boots on the ground, you're out building relationships. I see you at a lot of networking events that I'm at. I go to probably now 4 a week, right? So every Tuesday through Friday, I'm at an event, plus the time after the event, doing the face-to-faces, the one-on-ones, which I'm sure you're going through as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, how do you make time? I mean, I'm doing the same thing that you are. So what's some advice that you could at least give myself, if not our other listeners here, about, you know, how do you manage your time in throughout the day like that?
It does become rough, especially, you know how the one-on-ones go, the face-to-faces. They're meant to be 45 minutes. Sometimes it turns into like an hour and a half. is just prioritizing, like Corey said, pay yourself first. If your time is to work out and you're, you know, right in the middle of a face-to-face and you're having a great conversation, your alarm goes off, you may need to cut it out, mm-hmm. you know, cut it off and then get to the gym and just do the work. The calendar will fill itself. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah. What you have to worry about is where do you fit into the calendar?
Right.
When I was selling real estate, there was one of the meetings that we went to that talked about all about scheduling and stuff like that. And one thing that's always stuck with me is there was a very high performer. His name is Brian Buffini. He said that when he does his calendar, he always schedules his family time and his self time first. Mm-hmm. Everything else will fill in. You don't have to worry about that part. But if you don't schedule your own time, it will get scheduled over for you.
Yeah. I think another thing that I struggle with is my environment. You know, being a marketing agency, we are by textbook, we meet at social events, social gatherings. Mm-hmm. There's always alcohol, crappy food. I mean, for lunch today, I had a buttermilk fried chicken sandwich and macaroni and cheese from Tupelo Honey. So I stayed at Tupelo Honey.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And
delicious.
it was to die for. You know, Corey, what are some advice that you might give other listeners about how to control their environment, you know, in the moment, or how to set themselves up for successful entering those types of things, be networking or a business luncheon or a business meeting?
Yeah, there's a lot of my mind spinning in a million different directions there, but you know, social support is huge, right? Obviously, depending on where you're going, if you know you're going to be subjecting yourself to an environment that's going to have a bunch of fried foods or pastries, you know, doing what you can on the front end of that before you arrive, down a big glass of water. I mean, that's an easy one. You know, maybe if you don't eat in the morning by default, then that's probably not going to be that big of a deal for you. But if you're eating and you're someone that has to get up, and depending if it's a morning meeting or a lunch meeting, then if you can set yourself up for success on the front end by eating something that's healthy, right? Shut down those hunger signals and, you know, on the front end, then you'll probably be a lot better shape of not caving to the temptations that are laid out in front of you. That's how I would normally handle it.
Now, Corey, were you always like Mr. Fit, in shape? This was your thing? I mean, I'm sure there was a past life somewhere where you had to learn how to make that mind shift.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've struggled, believe me. I am no, you know, picture of fitness and health, in the sense of my whole life. I've definitely fallen off the wagon, the proverbial wagon, many, many, many times. I've restarted my fitness journey many, many, many times. And this is in the course of running the gym over the last 15 plus years and being a trainer for years ahead of that. I get busy, I get distracted just like everybody else does. And by no means am I a perfect example of health and wellness.
I think restarting is hard though, personally.
It is.
I mean, I was a member of a gym. It was a UFC Fit gym, a year and a half. I was in the best shape of my life. I had a boxing coach. I would do, I mean, the jumps up and down, you know, burpees. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd do all a ton of those. I even did a Tough Mudder that year. I did just boxing competitions for fun. I mean, nothing like super competitive. I wasn't trying to change my career, but man, I could do a lot of things. And then the reason I got out of it was because my gym closed down on me. So all the friends that I had made had scattered, and you know, I didn't have all their numbers. I only had like a few. So I just stopped, and I gained 40 pounds like after that, because my routine had been broken up.
Yeah.
You know, so how do I imagine you don't just go cold turkey, right? It's like smoking. You don't just stop smoking cigarettes one day. I mean, I guess you can, but they say like less than 1% achieve that. You know, you've got to graduate into it, you know? So how do you incorporate a new lifestyle into fitness, you know, gradually, or what are some steps that people can take to get through that?
For me, the many times that I've started over, and more, you know, in recent years, it's just realizing that I've removed a lot of the outside pressures that, you know, again, societal pressures that people put on you, like, oh, you own a gym, you must be super fit, or you must look a certain way. For me right now, it's self-preservation, longevity, and that's my focus. If I have a six pack as a result of focusing on that, great. That's a byproduct, but it was by no means my end result. I want to be durable. I want to be capable for the rest of my years. And does that mean that I have to be the strongest person in the gym? Absolutely not. So I'm not aiming to do that. I just want to be, again, durable and capable and move pain-free for the rest of my life, right? So minimum effective dose in the gym for us to maximize life outside of the gym. Mm-hmm. That's my focus right now. And that's, I think, the message that Diego and I are really trying to impart upon, you know, our member base, especially in recent years, is getting away from the, you know, hardcore, you know, you got to push it to the limit each and every day you show up. Believe me, we've been there. We've done it. I don't want to do it anymore. It doesn't yield any positive results for me long term. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it does for most of our clients long term.
Well, and I think that's the problem with like a lot of the big gyms is, you know, they sign up somebody under a fitness plan and they think, all right, session one, here we go. You know, let's do as many, you know, lifts as you can possibly do. Let's right. go do the treadmill for a half an hour. And the client leaves like completely gassed.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they can't move for a week because well, they've think, never done it. And there's yeah. no grad, there's really no program.
Yeah. There's, I think what happened, especially in the CrossFit space, you know, there was a lot of
CrossFit
gyms. Are we able to
say that? Are we able to say that? Technically, we're not a CrossFit gym, so we can't say that. But people know it by name, so it's easy to refer to that.
Exactly. And what happened, I think, in the beginning was the explosive growth of that methodology. You know, it really attracted a lot of people in the beginning, and there was a lot of younger, inexperienced, I'll dare say, coaches. I was one of those guys too. I was not, and I still don't know everything about fitness. I'm still learning every day. But what happens is you had a lot of younger, capable people expecting their clients to be able to do the same thing that they were doing. And they had these expectations that may not necessarily were realistic for that client at that time. So yes, did they come in and do too much? The volume was way excessive. Did they end up getting hurt? And then they start talking bad about this experience or that experience. And for us, we want people to know that, look, we want you to do what you can with what you have right now. There are no expectations. We've seen it. We've seen people be strong. We've seen people move well. We've seen people move fast and well and strong. Let's see you move well and be consistent. That way you can start putting those days back to back to back, or you know, stacking them, and then all that starts to build a very solid foundation that carries that person forward and doesn't keep moving them two steps back for every one step they go forward.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that you know, that foundation is built one brick at a time. Like you said, it's very few people can do anything cold turkey and it works. Very, very few people can cut out all processed carbs, eat all whole foods, work out 5 days a week, you know, at the drop of a hat, and it works. Most people that try something like that, it's just not sustainable for them.
Right.
And they'll end up quitting it soon afterwards. It usually doesn't last that long. Or I've seen a lot of people do really good for a 6 week, 9 week, 12 week challenge. As soon as the challenge is done, guess what happens? Then it's Taco Tuesday for a month, you know?
Yeah. It's literally twice as worse.
Exactly. Right? So it's a step-by-step type of thing, and it really depends on where you're at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I'll tell people, if they're looking to eat better, don't focus on absolutely right away, like, oh, is this better than this? What's better to eat than this? Maybe just try planning your meals for the day. Maybe not even the entire week. Pick 3 days out of the week and try to eat those meals for whatever day of the week. If you're going to the gym, start light. Start 2 to 3 days a week. See how sore you're going to be. See if it's going to fit into your schedule. Maybe you planned on going in the mornings, but you figure out it's too rough. There's too much friction to try to get it. So right. You have to change it to the afternoon. Your first 2 weeks to a month is going to be all the trial and error process. And I think that's with even people that are getting back to it. You're going to have to figure out what works for your schedule, for your body, for everything, because you used to be fit in your 20s, but now you got a mortgage, you got a business, you got 3 kids.
Right.
You're not going to be able to spend all that time at the gym that you did before. So something's going to have to change. And those first few weeks, that's your trial and error process.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of gyms in general are a little bit different. They're, you know, they have a niche, right? So for example, like you mentioned, the CrossFit, that's a style of training. You go to a Lifetime Fitness. I mean, like, you got to know what to do. right? There's just a bunch of things. So how, what is y'all set up, or how do you guys, what's the client experience when they come in and they work with you guys at your facility there?
Well, I think one of the things that we try to get across to people is if you've seen some of the workouts and some of the movements, you may possibly get intimidated, but it's not for you to know them right away. It's for us as coaches to guide you through basic, intermediate, more advanced levels of that. We can tell by how you're warming up, by, you know, your flexibility, your range of motion, certain things like that, whether a certain movement is even good for you to do or not. So our niche, I would say, is definitely in the functional fitness niche, where you're using your body for as much of the movements as possible, and you're not using 12 different pieces of machinery on a daily basis. So the learning curve on that one, it could be a little bit bigger for people, because if they're used to sitting down and just moving the pin and pushing single levers as they're going, that may take a little bit more time. But it's up to us as coaches to, you know, respectfully do that for you, to do it in a responsible way, and make sure that you're coming back the next day and the next day and the next day, and at the same time you're moving forward. So it's hard to put a single, you know, name on any of the movements or the niche, but it'd be more in the functional fitness niche, I would say. What'd you say, Corey?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. I mean, obviously, with from one person to the next, depending on their experience, you know, we're gonna query it. You know, hey, what have you been doing up to this point? Are there any injuries we need to know about? And, you know, usually people are pretty forthright with telling us that stuff, you know.
Sometimes then, they have a bunch of extras.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously we use that as information to help mold that experience and that particular session for mm-hmm. that person, you know, hopefully. And again, going forward, we advise the rest of the coaching staff, hey, Johnny came in today, he had shoulder surgery 6 weeks ago, or whatever it is, you know, limitations that he may have that we need to be aware of and just be, you know, sensitive to in those sessions going forward. So it is up to us to effectively and safely facilitate that session for each and every client. And, mm-hmm. and depending on, you know, the class, there could be somebody who's brand new to somebody who's been there 6 months to somebody who's been there 12 years. We have that going on every day at the gym. And you know, we have a good time doing it. And as long as you're willing to be coached and you're coachable and you're a good person, we want you to be a part of Industrious Frisco. Yeah.
Gotta be prepared for some dad jokes every now and
again. Every now and again. Yes.
That's going to happen.
You guys are in a tough industry though. Big major market. I mean, it's not doubt. Frisco is a major market.
Oh yeah.
From an outsider looking in. Okay. There's a lot of money, a lot of people that can get into fitness. You know, so there's a lot of marketing competition, branding out there. You've got Diego going out there shaking hands, kissing babies, and doing all that. You know, Corey, was there a time where, you know, since you've been doing this since 2009, you know, in that journey where you just kind of looked at yourself in the mirror and you're like, how am I going to pull this off? How am I going to get this to where I need it to be, or what I dream for it to be?
You know, we opened in 2009, and I remember people telling me I was crazy because, you know, at the time the economy was kind of dropping out. And historically, the fitness industry has always had an uptick during those down times in the economy. People start to focus on themselves more. So in my mind, I never really was nervous about it then. Now, there are times over the years, absolutely, that I've had those valleys where I had major anxiety of, man, is this going to work? Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? And that's been more so the last couple of years since.
What's made that different?
As far as having more anxiety.
Well, yeah. So what I'm kind of mind thinking about here is, you know, you got through 2009, you got through 2010, mm-hmm. you got through 2011. You know, at some point you were probably like, okay, we figured it out. But then I'm sure you know, the natural tendency might be to just let the gas go just a little bit. And so maybe the question should have been, you know, was there a time here recently where you're like, man, we really need to start innovating or figuring out new ways to get us from where we are now to an even greater level?
1,000,000%. Yes, that was last, well, it's been pretty much the last year and a half, thinking of how we can innovate. You know, right now, or for a while, we were just another apple in the apple barrel, right? And so last June, I really started looking hard at how we could shake up the market, the local market. And so I was looking at a couple different things, and we fell into the Industrious model. And you know, that's a whole different story, but yeah, that was the impetus. Was we gotta be different. There's a lot of noise, as Diego likes to call it, fitness noise in mm-hmm. Frisco, right? There's, as you just mentioned, Alex, there's a lot of competition, and there's no shortage of fitness opportunities for people in Frisco. So how do we stand out? Well, this was one of the ways that I thought we could make a big impact in the Frisco market. With one, we've been established. People know, like, and trust us. We have a good reputation. How can we make that? How can we enhance that even more? Mm-hmm. And I think the Industrious model has really kicked that level up for us and reignited that fire in us to go out and seize it again.
You got a lot of shoes to fill, Diego. I mean, you're the face. You know, you're the one out there, you know, describing the value that, you know, the fitness center has and what its core values are and what's important. You know, so I'm right there with you. You know, I'm at the networking meetings with you. I've been a member of Master Networks for about a year and a half now. It took me 4 months before I ever landed my first customer through Master Networks. And the reason it took so long is because I had to first learn how to articulate who we were as a company. Even though we had been doing it for so long, when I had done my first 30-second spiel, the person who had mentored me came up to me and said, "By the way, nobody knows what you do." And I'm like, "I do marketing. How is that unclear? I just told them in 30 seconds what I do." She's like, "Nope, nobody knows." She's like, "I literally had three people come up to me and go, so what does he do?" You know, so how long have you been a part of the networking scene, Diego?
It's been, I want to say, maybe about 2 years now. And when I started, I had another job. I've worn many hats over the years, but I started in insurance. I had the commercial seat, and then when I decided I was going to try to go more full-time fitness, I switched over. And it's definitely, I think what I really like about the marketing thing is you never really know how much reach you have.
Right.
And, you know, it's like they say in the meetings, it's not like you're trying to get a referral from the person you're doing a face-to-face with. They may know somebody who may know somebody.
It is a crazy beast.
It is.
So you didn't hear my testimony from, because I was at a different chapter today, but I met with Kendra, who introduced me to her husband, who's also a business owner. And then I also met Wade, who's their son-in-law, who owns a business. And then he introduced me to his best friend, who's also in insurance.
Yeah.
So within a 5-day period, I signed up 4 new customers that all like really know each other.
Yeah.
You know, are either under the same roof or hang out at the same places. And I was just doing the thing. I just was talking to the next person, setting up a meeting, doing, you know, going through the process.
Mm-hmm.
But what an impact it made. Same way, my biggest customer that we have came through a lead source, you know, but had we prejudged it, had we made a comment about, well, you know, is this really worth our time or not really giving it 100%, we wouldn't have that revenue. Right. So I imagine, Corey, you know, when you speak to somebody, you know, you really have to take your time and understand what their goals are. So that way your team can customize a solution that's for them long term. What are some just kind of general thoughts, you know, to business owners about, you know, seeing through it to the end, whether it's through fitness, whether it's applying it to their business model, or just in general being an entrepreneur? Corey, if you want to go first and just kind of speak to that, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say just be as consistent as you possibly can. And, you know, the saying, chunk it down, right? I mean, it can seem monumental depending on what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, everybody has, as an entrepreneur or business owner with an entrepreneurial spirit, you have lofty goals. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be going down that path in the first place. But if you make those goals too far out, right, it can be almost, it can seem very overwhelming, like, how am I going to get there? So chunking it down, right, making it into manageable objectives, creating those manageable objectives that you can do day in and day out, because those day in and day out systems and processes, they're going to stack. and they're going to become automatic. And then the more of those that you get in place, then you can start to kind of fine tune those and get more specific or laser focused on other areas that need to be developed. And I've struggled with that a lot. I've struggled with delegation my entire entrepreneurial
career. Yeah, I still struggle with it. And I even have help now, and I still suck at it.
And I, you know, I've had a hard time learning, hey, delegate it. It's not going to get done more than likely the way you wanted to get done the first time, but it's going to get more done than you not doing it.
Yep.
And that's where I've struggled a lot, and I'm trying to be better about that. So, and I think obviously with Diego and his help and his can-do attitude, it's going to be a lot different.
And he's got a nice haircut too. That helps.
Well, yeah. he definitely is the face of the business. So I have a face for radio.
he's got the voice for radio, but he's got the mustache to sell it. So
he's passionate, you know. Man. I was late to networking today, and you were standing up talking to people. I actually rudely interrupted whatever conversation you were going through.
No, it's good. You know, I want nothing but the best for the gym. I believe in what Corey and I do, and I believe that it can make a difference for people. You know, it's a stress relief. It's good for your health. You know, I don't think people realize how much it does help with every little bit of your life just to move your body. So I just want to get the message out there and, you know, push the gym. And if you're not at the gym, you know, I always joke around with people. It's like, you know, join a unicycle racing group, you know, take up aggressive gardening, do yoga with goats. I don't care. Just move your body.
I did cycling somehow for a while. So I also tried yoga at home. That was kind of cool. I met this person online that had, she was a yoga instructor, and I did, I hired her to do virtual classes like from my home. And what was weird about it was I guess I didn't realize I had invented that for her. She hadn't done that prior. So what I kept noticing was there were more and more people in my class. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought this was about
this
me.
This was a private class.
Yeah. And so exactly. She's like, well, hold on. I got my friend coming also. And this, I have a new client and this and that. So that was neat for her, but it kind of defeated what I was looking for.
Yeah.
but that was a cool addition because I was lifting weights and I would do all those things, but you know, I kept injuring myself because I wasn't stretching like at all.
Yeah.
Or I would run because I was doing the boxing and I wasn't stretching properly. And so yoga really helped me kind of get through that. What is the best way if people want to get involved specifically with you guys, your gym, your fitness programs, how do they get started with that?
So, the easiest way that we tell people is just to book a free session. So we offer everybody a free class. You want to come and try it out. Everybody can try it out once for free. So are we industriousfrisco.com?
Yep, you can hit us there or frisco.workhardlivefit.com.
Yeah, so if you go on to the website, that'll tell you about our class times, how to sign up for free. We're also running a sign-up special for right now, 20% off for the year, which is awesome. No initial sign-up fee, month-to-month, no contracts. If you sign up for the special, as long as you're paying month-to-month, you get that discount for the entire year, which is awesome. That's the easiest way that we could do it. But if you want to stop by the gym and just kind of see what the setup is, maybe kind of watch us in action, lead a class and all that stuff, more than welcome to do that too. Door's always open.
Very cool. I may have to take you up on that offer. I may have to check it out. Maybe I'll have four gym memberships. I don't know.
There we'll you see. Go. It'll soon, if you do, it'll soon go down to just one.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope so. I mean, what I enjoyed most about where I was just the, like I said, the family, the camaraderie, the friendship, that everybody was trying to do the same thing all together. I mean, when I did the Tough Mudder, there was like 10 of us all from the gym, you know, that did it. So we were on one team. That was probably the hardest thing I ever done in fitness. It took me 4 hours to get through 14 miles or 10 miles or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you did it.
I was miserable. Like, so I remember very vividly there was a long stretch, like on the third quarter of the race, and I was in the outskirts, right? So I was like out far. And my brain started to wander because like everything hurt. My knees were hurt. You know, my legs were starting to hurt. And so my brain started going in different places. And I just remember thinking like, how am I going to get back? Like I'm stuck out here by myself. Like I couldn't see anybody else. It was the most weird experience. But I did it, man. I did it. And my coach had just told me it's one leg in front of the other. Yes, that's all it is. And that was the smallest, most best advice that he had given me was just it's one leg in front of the other.
And there's so much fun. You get dirty. I did the same thing with a bunch of people at our gym. We did a tough mudder. This was years ago. And I mean, it's all, like you said, it's all camaraderie. You're all going through the same stuff at the same time.
Yep. And everyone's fighting a different journey. They're all doing it for different reasons. I mean, I saw people crying and not because they're in pain, but because they're emotional at what they had accomplished.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. You know, it was cool. It was cool.
And it's no small feat, whether it's doing a tough mudder or stuff that you accomplish in a gym. I've, you know, helped people. There was coming to mind, there's a lady at one of the gyms that we worked at that was terrified of box jumps, just absolutely terrified. And then by the end, we got her jumping on a 24-inch box during workouts where she never thought she could. You know, passing those milestones is huge.
Right.
It's, you know, that aha moment, that light that brights up in people's eyes. Corey and I were talking about that the other day with people. Like, that's what makes me feel like a coach. That's what makes me feel like I'm making a difference.
It's all about your surroundings, you know, the people you hang out with, the mindset that you're in. It's really the reason why we're in this space. So, I mean, I like football and I have a jersey of the Cowboys, but I think I don't care who wins at all. But I don't know if you noticed when you came into the hallway of the building, there was a big star by the elevators and it said, train like us, you know, and it's world class. It's like, you know what? I'm here to work. I'm here to accomplish something. I'm here to do great things with my customers, my team members, myself. And fitness is no exception. So I really appreciate you guys coming on and sharing, you know, where you guys come from, your stories, how that relates to people that are also trying to make it in business and, you know, and fitness with them for themselves as well. So, Diego, you've got a great friendship in my heart. Corey, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Alex.
And I can't wait to see where you guys come over the next year. I know you guys are expanding into other locations. So if you want to just real quickly talk about which locations you're thinking about, and we'll call it a day.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. We plan to expand. We've got territory rights in West Plano, Prosper, and Allen/McKinney. So we're hoping to open. We haven't decided which location specifically yet, but within a year, around a year's time frame, our second location will hopefully be online.
Perfect. Can't wait for it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much.